Humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh. Kind Father in heaven, we come before you on this Sabbath day to honor you, worship you, to delve into your word and study the meaning of what you have there for us. We thank you for the blessings that you give us each day, the spiritual blessings mostly, and as well as the physical, but we also ask that you protect those who are this day suffering from the storm that is hit, and that you be with them as they honor you on the Sabbath day. We thank you for guiding us and for the spirit that you've given, placed within each of us, that we might go forward with the truth and teach many more. We know that the times are evil. The days are short when Yahshua is going to return, and we see the signs everywhere in our world today. We thank you, Almighty Yahweh, for opening our eyes to these things. May each of us honor you and worship you in truth, and keep us safe from the wiles of the adversary, and help us to overcome. This prayer now and this petition we ask in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Do you believe in miracles? Seems like for many of the evangelicals or charismatics, miracles are a big part of what they talk about. We've all heard people say it was a miracle, I avoided an accident, something that could have been devastating, or I prayed for some money and all of a sudden there it came in the mail, just exactly the amount I wanted. Or a stranger came into my life and changed it completely, it was a miracle. Well, people call such things miracles, but by definition they're far from it. A miracle is a supernatural event which operates outside of natural law. It's one of those things that can't happen by known natural phenomenon, and yet it does. Healing sickness may or may not be a miracle. Raising the dead, of course, certainly is a miracle. Miracles operate in the realm of the spiritual. And we all know there's a spiritual world out there, and sometimes we even have contact with it in one way or another. When a tornado bearing down on your home just at the last minute swings off and hits the whole next block and wipes it out, as happened to my own parents many years ago, that's not necessarily a miracle. That was probably Yahweh's guiding hand to manipulate the natural forces. I've had several close calls recently relating to weather and my own driving doofiness, and the situations had a potential to be very serious, but I was delivered from them, and that, I believe, was not a miracle. I believe that was Yahweh's hand trying to teach me some things. A miracle, by definition, is a supernatural event, and it is spiritual, as I mentioned, in origin, and spiritually driven. Let's turn to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, and I want to look at verse 12 to begin with. We find, of course, many miracles in the scriptures, and even in the book of Acts, quite a few. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders Yahweh had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Notice it makes a distinction between miracles and wonders. Over in chapter 19, verse 11. And Yahweh wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now that's interesting. We've got sickness departing from them, along with, it mentions, the evil spirits. So here we have not only a miracle in so much as healing somebody, but also in connection with the spirit world. Not everything supernatural is necessarily a miracle or miraculous. We once encountered a demoniac, and as we entered her room, we heard an ear-piercing siren seemed to come from the center of the room up at the ceiling. But others nearby didn't hear it. That was certainly unnatural, but was it a miracle? I don't think so. Miracles have an added dimension that most unnatural events lack, and which explains why there are miracles in the first place. And I'd like to talk about basically the purpose for miracles today. Turn to Exodus chapter 10, and I want to look at verse 1. And there are several examples here in the Old Testament of dramatic things happening. And Yahweh said unto Moses, "Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these signs before him." We know these signs that took place all had special significance. Every one of the plagues was directed against an Egyptian mighty one that they worshipped. And Yahweh, in a way, was actually showing the weakness of these deities that they worshipped. And that you may tell in the ears of your son and of your son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know how that I am Yahweh. There's a significant point right there why these miracles are sometimes given in the scriptures and often is the purpose for them. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 11, I want to look at verse 1. "Therefore you shall love Yahweh your Elohim and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always, and know you this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known and which have not seen the chastisement of Yahweh your Elohim, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm." So we see a purpose here. Something about knowing Yahweh and who he is. "And his miracles and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, unto all his land, and what he did unto the army of Egypt, and unto their horses and their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, how Yahweh had destroyed them unto this day. And what he did unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place. And what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliah, the son of Reuben. How the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of Yahweh which he did." Your eyes have seen all these things. Why did he give them these things? Why did he show them miraculous events? Let's turn to John chapter 20. In the New Testament, chapter 20 and verse 30. "And many other signs did Yahshua in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Yahshua is the Messiah, the Son of Elohim, and that believing you might have life through his name." These things were written so that we would believe that this wasn't just an average man. This was somebody special. And because of that, you might have life. Notice through his name. In the Bible, miracles are performed to prove or certify that an individual is sent by Yahweh, or his commission is of Yahweh. In Numbers chapter 16, verse 28, you know, it would be hard to convince a lot of people of the truth who had no love for Yahweh without miracles, and that's oftentimes how Yahweh spoke to those people. In Numbers chapter 16, verse 28, Moses said, "Hereby you shall know that Yahweh has sent me to do these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind." By these you shall know. The other purpose is to demonstrate that Yahweh is all-powerful, that he has control over this entire world, and there is no other like him. In the scripture, miracles are sometimes called signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. And as we enter the end times, we're going to see more counterfeit signs and wonders, and more people being deceived, because many are already looking for miracles, wanting to see miracles. We've seen the weeping Virgin Mary statues and paintings in the news where she weeps oil or blood or water, and people flock to those things, and they just want to see more of it, and it gets even more bizarre and far-fetched. And that's the danger. That's the danger of looking for miracles and not understanding the purpose of them. The Chicago Tribune once reported on a New Mexico woman who was frying tortillas in her kitchen. She noticed one of them had the likeness of a face burned in its surface there. And she concluded it was J.C., and she built a crude shrine to the tortilla. Thousands of people visited the shrine of the Jesus of the Holy Tortilla and concluded it was a miracle. And that's how shallow so many people are when it comes to the word of Yahweh. Thousands believe such nonsense, and they believe it's all miraculous. In the late 1980s, a woman in Tennessee noticed that when her neighbors turned on the porch light, the image of a face appeared in the glow of that light reflected on her freezer. She said it was the face of Jesus, although some observers said it looked more like Willie Nelson. Well, the world's fascination with these things plays right into the hands of the evil one. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. You know, Yahshua said, look out. When the end times are coming, there's going to be what? What's the first thing he mentions? Deception. Why? Why? There has to be some priming involved, some pre-effort to get people in line a certain and thinking a certain way. For there shall arise false messiahs, in verse 24, and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. I mean, if they're just enamored and fascinated by a tortilla that looks like Yahshua, they think, you can imagine what's going to happen when they can actually do something really great and bring down miraculous things out of the sky, whatever it could be, whatever Satan empowers them. Because we know the witnesses will be able to do that too, the two witnesses. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Where will we stand if someone's able to do things like that? Are we going to be deceived into it, to believing that that's the power of Yahweh? Are we going to know better? Well, we've got to know what it's for. If we see a miracle happen, what's the reason for it, and what's the lesson behind it? And that's what we need to understand today. The world's fascinated by this, with miracles. And it plays right into the hands of the evil one. And don't get me wrong, true biblical miracles are real. But those performed by the evil one lack the characteristics of Yahweh's true miracles. The spirit world is real. And it, at times, our thoughts even tap into it. I was talking with my father the other day, and we were talking about the kingdom. And he said, we'll probably communicate through our mind, through our thoughts in the kingdom. We won't need to have words necessarily. And just as Yahshua could sense people's thoughts, we would have that same ability perhaps. There is power in thought. And there is a demonstrable spiritual essence to it. There's something there beyond our own physical understanding. Have you ever watched two strangers talking? Maybe one gets a little close to the other one. The other one kind of backs away. Like there's some kind of something there that doesn't feel comfortable to maintain a comfort zone there. Well, just a small example of some kind of essence there beyond, outside of our own skin and bones. There's something beyond that that we feel sometimes. Just a small example. But there is a spiritual essence. And miracles break through that physical. The physical boundaries and the supernatural. Miracles are powerful. And I believe Aaron's rod did do what it said. It did bud with leaves and almonds overnight. And I believe the miraculous miracles, the 10 plagues that Moses performed in Egypt were of Yahweh. And I believe that Elisha's steel axe head actually floated on the water, and that the sun and moon did stand still for Joshua. And I believe with all my being that many saints were raised from the dead after Yahshua's resurrection. And that fire came down from heaven to destroy those cities and to consume burnt offerings. And I believe all the healings and the wonders of Yahshua and his disciples that were performed in the New Testament were real and were of Yahweh and were attributed to his power. And Yahweh can still do miracles today and does miracles. But I submit that most of the signs and wonders being claimed today by charismatics and others have little in common with what the true miracles were in the scriptures. They don't fit the criteria, the purpose, and they don't fit the intent, and they don't fit the content. People talk about the restoration of the power of the Spirit in our day by their own alleged miracles. Well, if they're genuine, this alleged power of theirs given to people are imperfect, because these people are imperfect in their belief and their understanding and their teachings. Why don't we see that in the scriptures? True miraculous powers are given to true believers, aren't they? Did Yahweh ever give powers to someone who doesn't believe? I mean, normally, that's usually how it happened. These people kept the Sabbath. They kept Yahweh's laws. They didn't deny his name. Why are all these alleged miracles that we see so pitifully inferior to those we see in the scriptures? Why don't we see people claiming to be faith healers go and empty all the hospitals? What Yahweh gave to the prophets and the apostles as power to perform miracles was a whole lot different than what we see today. Is almost like fake substitutes, bogus actions that simply don't fit the concept that the scripture talks about as a miracle. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Talked to a man this week, and he was asking me about someone who has prophesied many things, and says, what do you think of that man? So, well, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 13. This is the chapter that talks about the requirements of a prophet. He says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and gives you a sign or a wonder, that's immediately where most people would slip and fall right there. He gives you a sign or a wonder, they would immediately jump on it and say, that's got to be so. But then he goes on, he says, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spoke unto you, saying, let us go after other mighty ones which you have not known, and let us serve them, in other words, false, bogus, mighty ones, you shall not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for Yahweh your Elohim proves you. Isn't that interesting? He would allow someone to perform a miraculous, perhaps something that's miraculous, to see whether you're going to follow it and accept it. He says Yahweh your Elohim would give you that to prove you, to know whether you love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul. He says you, notice, here's the proof and here's why. You shall walk after Yahweh your Elohim and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. But on the other hand, that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from Yahweh your Elohim, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust you out of the way which Yahweh your Elohim commands you to walk in. It's almost like a test stone, a proving stone to see. A touchstone to see if you're going to be faithful. So a key criteria to understand the truth of a miracle, the veracity of a sign or a wonder, is this person who's behind this a follower of Yahweh? Or is it somebody who doesn't even know him, doesn't even obey him? There are a lot of bogus signs and wonders today. And no doubt there's one reason Yahshua says don't be deceived. When it comes to the real thing, don't be deceived by those things that are not real, those that are false. We don't see people going around raising others from the dead like Lazarus today. after he's been dead for 4 days. We don't see blindness or leprosy or other things healed instantaneously today, or water turning into blood or wine. We don't see fire being called down from heaven today, or violent storms instantly responding to a prayer. One day, I believe we will, and it will serve Yahweh's purpose. But today, there isn't that purpose yet. There's another difference between a miracle and a non-miracle. You ever notice miracles in the Bible are never slow? Miracles are instantaneous, and they happen just like that. Just like that. And they were complete. By contrast, most modern miracles are gradual, partial, or maybe even temporary. Well, let's look a little further and see if we can glean some more understanding about miracles and their purpose. One of the primary characteristics of biblical miracles is that they don't occur with the same frequency throughout the Bible. Most Bible miracles happen during three different eras in the Scriptures, three different periods of biblical history. You have miracles in the days of Moses and Joshua. You have miracles in the days of Eliah and Elisha, and in the days, of course, of Joshua and the apostles. Three main periods where you find miracles. Well, there are other miracles at times, but these were the ones where we find a preponderance of miracles going on. Other miracles are mostly just isolated events. Of course, we know, involving Isaiah and Daniel, Hezekiah, Jonah, and others, but they weren't as frequent and relatively rare, as a matter of fact. By contrast, with these other periods, you see miracles just bang, bang, bang. I mean, not every day, but you see them quite often and very frequently. And the miracles that happened in the time of Moses and Joshua involved Moses and Joshua. The miracles that happened in Eliah's time happened around his ministry. And the miracles that happened with Joshua, of course, happened along with their ministry. If we examine the three main times that they occurred in great numbers in the Scriptures, we discover a common thread and gives us insight into why. Why these miracles? More than anything, miracles reveal a special key in the different junctures in Yahweh's plan. They authenticated that something major and important was happening. All three of these periods of miracles, we noted, were turning points in Yahweh's plan. Moses and Joshua, the time of the giving of the covenant and the law, very significant time. Very important event in the history of the Bible. And then in the prophets, Eliah and Elisha introduced the prophetic office, the prophetic age, and all the books of the prophecies, the major prophets and the minor prophets. Very significant point in Yahweh's instructions. And then, of course, the New Testament centers on the New Covenant introduction of the teachings of Yahshua and the apostles. So the main purpose of biblical miracles is to authenticate and to certify, and these are the reasons we have them so often in these three instances, to certify. These are very important points in Yahweh's instruction, very important times. And so it certifies that his representatives are truly his and not something somebody comes up with on their own. And that's why Yahweh doesn't give this power to unbelievers or to false prophets and teachers generally, if not always, because they're not of him and following him, whether it's Moses, the prophets, or Yahshua and his apostles. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we read where Eliah raised the widow's son from death to life, verse 24. And what was her reply? And the woman said to Eliah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of Elohim, and that the word of Yahweh is in your mouth is truth." So she understood the meaning of that miracle and why it was done. That you are a man of Elohim and you're speaking the truth. Now, if someone claims they've done a miracle, and they don't speak the truth, they don't speak Yahweh's word, they don't speak about his commandments or anything like it, in fact, tell you that those are all done away, that violates one of the major points for a miracle to be given in the first place. So, can we trust it? Oh, of course not. Of course not. You look at the person's teachings, you look at their life. Is this person a representative of Yahweh or not? And if they truly are, then you'd know them by their life. Well, she understood it. She understood it, and that says it all. That's the purpose for miracles in a nutshell. Same thing with Yahshua in the New Testament. Let's turn to John chapter 10. The Jews confronted Yahshua, the leadership. I think we should always make that distinction because not all the Jews were against Yahshua. I mean, these are the ones he went to. So we know that there were converts who really understood and really wanted to understand, but there were these others who sensed his didn't want him getting in their life and being any kind of competition, considered him a rival. In John chapter 10, verse 24, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long do you make us to doubt? If you be the Messiah, tell us plainly. How long are you going to leave us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, out with it. Tell us. What is his answer? I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. What works did he do? He did all sorts of works that had to have been only from Yahweh's own power and nobody else's. So he said, you didn't believe what I said. So now the miraculous works that I do to authenticate me and my message, you still won't believe. In his sermon on Pentecost, Peter told the crowd that Yahshua was a man attested to them by Elohim with miracles, wonders, and signs. And the same kind of power belonged to the apostles. In Acts chapter 14, Paul's first missionary journey, he and Barnabas were ministering at Iconium. And it says they were speaking boldly with reliance on Yahweh. It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. What a powerful message they had and a way of delivering it. So just by one visit, many believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Master, which gave testimony unto his word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So Yahweh gave a special ability to try to convince these gainsayers that these men were true. They were the real thing. They were his very representatives, and they came with a message. Those who believe that we still need miracles today to authenticate a person and his ministry, really don't understand the word. You can find out whether he speaks for Yahweh just by comparing what he says with the word, like the noble Bereans. Compare his teachings with the scriptures. Back then, they didn't have the word. Well, they had the Old Testament, but it wasn't readily available to everybody. I mean, it was an effort to get hold of it. It's not always easy to get a copy and sit and study it. So they had to have something, some helps to give them that extra, understanding and belief that these people were truly of Yahweh. Today the scriptures are as accessible as a loaf of bread. You can go down and find a Bible bought anywhere in most stores, department stores anyway. For some people, everything is a miracle and they look for miracles to occupy their lives. They're going to they think they have to have a miracle every day, and these are the same ones who think that Yahweh speaks to them and only them every day, but their miracle is not the biblical one. They don't have the same things happening today as we just read scripturally. What happened with the prophets of old, the apostles. In Acts 15:12, it says the whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders that Yahweh had done among the Gentiles through them. If these were just everyday occurrences, it wouldn't have drawn their silence as these miracles did. It was something else when they could explain how these things happened and they were still here to tell about it, or how many were converted through the power of Yahweh. When an apostle performed a miracle, it wasn't for himself. And there's another aspect that we've got to understand. Yahweh doesn't do miracles to puff up certain individuals and give them some kind of prestige. Yahweh did miracles so that people would listen to the word. Yahweh had something important to convey, and he wanted an impact on the mind and heart to give it the punch it needed. Look at 1 Kings 18, where Elijah defeated the 400 prophets of Baal before many Israelites. What was the outcome? Let's turn there, 1 Kings 18 and verse 36. One of the most fascinating of all miracles. I mean, if this didn't convince you, there's got to be something wrong with you. Came to pass at that time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Eliah the prophet came near and said, Yahweh, Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known this day that you are Elohim in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Yahweh. Hear me, that this people may know that you are Yahweh, and that you have turned their heart back again. So what happened? The fire came down, the fire of Yahweh, and consumed the burnt offering. Just almost instantaneously, as soon as he got done with his prayer, here it comes. Instantaneously. And it burned the sacrifice. But not just the sacrifice, it burned the wood. And it burned the stones. And it even burned the dust. And it did more than that. It licked up the water that was around the trench. The whole thing just incinerated, virtually. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, Yahweh, he is the true mighty one. Yahweh, he is Elohim. And of course, Eliah then had the others, the false ones, all of the prophets of Baal who were proclaiming to have this power but didn't follow Yahweh, he had them all killed. They realized Yahweh is Elohim. He had to be. To do something like this? Kind of like Moses, you know, in Pharaoh and his magicians, and his rod, his snake, ate up all the others. I mean, if that doesn't show true dominance of Yahweh, what does? They realized Yahweh is Elohim. If you have Yahweh's word, you don't necessarily have to have a miracle. You can believe. You can read it and believe. Because you can see the examples and you can see the miracles that did happen. And that is why Yahshua said, if they do not believe Moses and the prophets, that is the scriptures, they will not believe though someone were raised from the dead, meaning himself. If you don't have the Old Testament, how are you going to know who Yahshua is? You're not going to know. Because they testified of him. Tongues. Speaking of tongues, another twisted understanding many people have today. 1 Corinthians 14. They don't understand what they were for. Verse 22. I'm not going to go into exactly what all the ramifications of what they were about, but in verse 22 it says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. If you're a believer, you don't need these extra helps, you might call it, because you do understand already. But these things, these miraculous events, the speaking in another language, so that someone from some other language can understand you, and you don't even know the language, are for those that don't believe. But prophesying, that is, teaching, serves not for them that believe not, but for those which believe. Most people like to stop at that, those that are involved in the tongues doctrine, they like to stop at the tongues, and that's all you need. He goes on. He says, yeah, they're for unbelievers, number one. Number two, it's the teachings that you need, the teachings of the Word. That's what you have to have. But they don't go that far. They stop at the miracle, or alleged miracle. And that's purposeless. There's always a point to miracles. Those who didn't grasp the meaning of the miracles of Moses that he performed in the wilderness, it was for their unbelief. A whole northern kingdom refused to believe the miracles and the message of the prophets. So they were dispersed and they became lost. It's important that we know where we stand with Yahweh. Are miracles necessary today? People sometimes ask, where are your miracles? As if they must be done to confirm a ministry and its veracity. When the New Testament and the Old Testament were completed, Yahweh's revelation was finished for the most part. Nothing in Scripture indicates that the miracles of the apostolic age were meant to be continuous. If you keep reading the book of Acts, you'll start to notice, where are the miracles? You say to yourself, I haven't read a miracle in quite a long time. And you'll finish the whole book and not see another one. They had begun to cease even in the book of Acts. Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians, we were almost there a minute ago. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, he said something very significant. He says, charity, that's love, never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Tongues, a miracle, a miraculous thing. He says it's going to wane, it's going to stop. And that's exactly what we've seen happen. Why didn't Paul heal Trophimus when he was sick at Miletus? Why in 1 Timothy 5:21 did he tell Timothy, take a little wine? Stop drinking water, take a little wine for its medicinal purposes, for your stomach's sake. And you're off infirmities. Why didn't you just heal him? Miracles do not appear on the pages of Scripture just willy-nilly. They belong there to key periods of the Scriptures for a purpose in Yahweh's plan, and only by His anointed to perform them to be true. Does Yahweh promise miracles for everybody? No. He never has. He never says every believer will be a miracle worker. You hear some say, Yahweh has a special miracle for you. No, He doesn't. Yahweh doesn't give you your own private miracles. In fact, all of Yahshua's miracles were, if you notice, they're all done in public. Why? Because the purpose is the essence. To teach something. Don't buy into this deception that there's something beyond the Scriptures. That's really what they're saying. You have to have something more. Scriptures aren't enough. We got to get into something miraculous. And oh, don't get me wrong, there's going to be miracles in the time when just preceding Yahshua's coming, because there's going to be a very strong pull of the evil one, and Yahweh's going to show who is really truly in control. And there will be, and we read about them in the prophecies and Revelation. There's going to be miracles done by His people. But that doesn't mean we need miracles every day going on now, because we have His Word. We have the point of the miracle right in front of us, the teaching of Yahweh's Word and the understanding that He is the mighty one that teaches it. It's His Word. People believe there has to be somebody getting a revelation today. It has to be some kind of miraculous thing. That there's got to have that or it's not true. Miracles are supposed to be happening all over the place. But that's not consistent with Scripture, like we just read. Not even consistent with the book of Acts. started off with lots of miracles, and then kind of, as people understood the word and accepted the word, it kind of tailed off. Yahweh has a special purpose for the eras of Revelation. He has a different purpose now, just as powerful and just as wonderful, but now we have his word. And that's not to say that lesser miracles or things like that don't happen today through the gifts of the Spirit. But it is a spiritual work. It is the power of the Spirit in order to edify the assembly. Gifts of wisdom and knowledge, faith, healings, these sort of things. We do know that great miracles will arise at the end of the age, and Yahweh then will advance his plan. Every time you see these miracles happening, it's because Yahweh's making a push for his plan, emphasizing it and making it happen in a greater way. Joshua acknowledged that many would claim to prophesy, expel demons, perform many wonderful works, and that he would not know them because of their own works and their beliefs, and because they were not authorized. Matthew 7, verse 22. Keep this in mind when somebody comes to you and says they have this special power. Keep Matthew 7, 22 in mind. Many will say to me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out devils? And in your name done many wonderful works? And then he says, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Man, you'd think if they could do this, he would know them. Nope. Why? He says, depart from me, you that work lawlessness. Maybe they do these, what they claim are wonderful works, and at the same time say, the law's been done away. We don't need to follow Yahweh's commands. We don't need to worry about any kind of works righteousness, legalism, and all the other things that they call it. He says, I don't know you because you're not in line with me and my teachings. So he warned about that. False messiahs, false prophets will even be able to show many wonderful works, Matthew 24, 24. Servants of Satan would be able to display power and signs and lying wonders, 2 Thessalonians 2, 9. The Apostle Paul explained that we should not be astonished that such false teachers would appear. Every time you have the truth, you always have the opposite, the anti-truth in there too, trying to convince and trying to... And really what that does is just strengthens us. He says you'd have these diversities of doctrines so that you'll be proved, so that you're going to get in there and prove what's right and what's wrong. And that's what they do for us. He says, the apostle Shaul explained that we should not be astonished these teachers would appear, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11. These miracles are what deceive and what will deceive people in the final days. Yahshua, number one, did not publicize his healings to create a sensational reputation or as an excuse to raise money or any of the other reasons that so many people want to get into this sort of thing. Rather, oftentimes, he would say, after he performed a miracle, go and tell no man. Isn't that interesting? Tell no man. Keep it a secret. Because he knows what happens when people start saying, this happened to me and that happened to me and I've got this special blessing on Yahweh, from Yahweh and this and that, you know. People like to puff themselves up. He says, tell no man. You understand the purpose. You understand what happened. That's enough. Matthew, let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, I want to look at verse, just an example, 27, I believe. When Yahshua departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, you son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come unto the house, the blind men came to him, and Yahshua said unto them, believe you that I am able to do this? First of all, he was looking for their faith, their belief. He didn't just do it, but he was searching for something greater. And they said unto him, Yes, Master. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Yahshua straightly charged them, saying, See that no man knows it. Did they do it? No. Verse 31, But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame into all the country. That's another reason he didn't want the crowds at certain times. So, you know, many people followed Yahshua just because they wanted to see a miracle or they wanted something in their stomach. Make some food for us. Loaves and fishes. Oftentimes that's why they followed him around. He had a reason for these things. And it was, of course, spiritual. It had to do with their salvation. He performed no partial healings. We never see someone, you know, who couldn't walk suddenly stand up, but he had a limp. He wasn't quite totally healed. It says they were made whole by Yahshua and his miracles. Matthew 15, as long as we're there, let's go to 15, verse 29. When a miracle is performed, it was complete. People were healed. They were healed. They didn't come back next week with the same problem. Matthew 15, verse 29. And Yahshua departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Yahshua's feet, and he healed them. And he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the Elohim of Israel. So, they were made whole. And all sorts of infirmities and whatever it was, he could heal them. In Mark, let's look at one other instance. Mark chapter 7, verse 31. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they brought him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him, and he took him aside from the multitude. Notice he did this in a private way, and put his fingers unto his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much more a great deal. They published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, He has done all these things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Yahshua never failed to heal a person he attempted to heal. He never had any embarrassing explanations for his failures like so many prophets do today. Oh, he's supposed to come in 2002. Where is he? Well, you see, I just miscalculated a little bit. Let me get my pencil again. I'll give you another one. He'll come in somewhere down the road. Yahshua never made mistakes. The Holy Spirit doesn't make mistakes. He's either right or he's wrong. And that's what we find in Deuteronomy 13 and 18. If the prophets prophesying doesn't come to pass, don't believe him. Enough. He's already proved he's not true. He's not a true representative of Yahweh. But Yahshua never failed. It's another characteristic. And no question was ever raised about the genuineness of his healings as to whether the patient had actually been ill or maybe he wasn't really healed. We don't find that. He was healed, and it was true. Yahshua's miracles were never intended for more than to substantiate him and his teachings to Israel. Otherwise, he would have traveled the world instead of just remaining in Galilee. His journeys and his actions insofar as the geography were limited in scope. We had a little Bible study this morning. I want to just bring this up. In John chapter 5, verse 20, and people use this to say that we should be doing greater miracles than Yahshua. Chapter 5, and let's see, did I get the right passage down here? I don't think that's the one I wanted. Where was that, Randy? That we talked about. It says you'll do greater miracles than these. Well, if you go back to the beginning of that chapter, it greater works, I should say. And some people think that that's talking about miracles. But if you go back into it, you'll find that it's really referring to the fact that Yahshua is going to give special positions to people to do a work for him. And that's what he's really talking about. Not you're going to do greater miracles than Yahshua did, because that word does not specify a miracle. It means a duty. So that's something we got to remember. And I still can't find it, but that's the reference. And Yahshua could have, with Yahweh's power, simply healed all men everywhere with what, you know, one word, but he didn't. Each specific instance of healing was for a specific point. Yahshua could have, with Yahweh's power, simply, you know, changed the world overnight. Nobody would be sick. Nobody would have problems. Nobody would have trials. But that isn't the purpose. Our purpose is given to overcome, not look for some miraculous way out of it, but to overcome through the power and faith in Yahshua the Messiah and Yahweh's word. And that is the point that each of us needs to realize. The real purpose of miracles, as we see in the New Testament, was to show that Yahshua and his inspired apostles were speaking by Yahweh's authority. That Yahweh was behind what they were saying and doing. And a fact once proven is always proven. You don't have to go back and reprove it. After the inspired teachings which make up our New Testament were confirmed by the miracles of the first century, they stand proven forever. Forever. It's not something you have to reprove. It's there. You don't have to have miracles again to reaffirm. It's already been affirmed. The Bible teaches we must now simply study the written accounts of these miracles in order to be convinced of the truthfulness. Let's look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 30. When Yahshua therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. And the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation, and I'm in verse 19, chapter 19, I'm sorry. That didn't sound right. Chapter 20, verse 30 is where I want to be. And many other signs did Yahshua in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So many more things that we don't have access to that he had done in his miracles and other teachings. But these are written that you might believe. Now there's the point, that Yahshua is the Messiah, the Son of Elohim, and that believing you might have life through his name. Life through his name. Let's look at, finally, I want to look at Luke chapter 16. 16 and verse 27. Do we need miracles today to prove our faith? Are we unbelieving enough that we have to have something beyond his word? Chapter 16, verse 27. Then he said, "I pray you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And they said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. All sorts of duality in that. It's a prophecy as well, of course, of Yahshua. But if they don't have Moses and the prophets, they don't believe Yahweh's word, it's not going to do any good. It's not going to do any good. They can go to any false prophet they want to. It won't make any difference unless you're focused on Yahweh's truth and what he means by these miracles and what he's trying to accomplish through the understanding of these miracles that are given. So let's keep in mind that miracles have a point. Miracles are there to reveal Yahweh, to reveal the truth and reveal a message and the messenger as true. And it's not just for the miracle's sake, but for a greater reason that Yahweh gives these to us and gives us this power. And may Yahweh bless you.